There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday eve. Glad to have you along. Brady Petrie from LandNap joins us in just a second. And my man at the headquarters for Parrish Tractor, at least here in Baldwin County, it's Blaine Price. Hey, man.
How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Are you? So you talked about this earlier in the week. And then here's what happens. So we get text on the text line, but then I get text on my personal phone. People are like, what did Blaine say about the package deal on the L Series tractor? So you're on. What did you say? Can you repeat that deal?
So on all of our compact L Series tractors right now, if you purchase the tractor with at least two of the Land Pride implements, it can be any two implements, whether it be a bush hog, a box blade, pallet forks, a disc, spreader, tiller, whatever that may be, you purchase at least two implements, we're going to throw in the 7x20 trailer for free to kind of form up that package deal for you. And we're still offering the 0% financing on those package deals, as well as all of our zero-turn mowers, all of our skid steers, mini excavators, the side-by-sides, the RTVs. So everything's still offered at zero interest, but that L-Series package on the compacts right now, buy the two implements with that tractor, and we're going to throw in that 7x20 trailer for free.
It's good stuff. And by the way, the Land Pride attachments, great stuff. I would have bought two of those attachments from you in the last year. I love the stuff, and it lasts, you know, and that's what I need, because I'm hard on equipment, man. You know, I'm hard on equipment.
It does. And something else, if you're not in the market for new, we got plenty of trade-in equipment, used equipment, even equipment in our rental fleet that we rotate out. So if you're in the market for a piece of used equipment, not something that you're going to be using all the time, definitely check us out. You can look online at parrishtractor.com. We've got our pre-owned tab right there at the top. You can click on it and filter through them all. So,
okay. So that's the website. If they want to check out the stuff in person, how do they find you?
Well, right here in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171. And like I said, follow us online at parrishtractor.com. You can see all the new and used equipment on there.
Good stuff, Blaine. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor. And here comes rolling in Brady Petrie from LandNap, landnapmobile.com. Let me say award-winning journalist Brady Petrie. Hey, man.
You know, if I keep coming on here every week and you keep giving me these grand entrances, my head's going to get so big I'm not going to be able to walk through the door at LandNap.
Well, that's my plan. So, that's my plan. Yeah, my plan is to get you so big for your britches that it starts trouble at LandNap home offices. Well, but, you know.
Well, I appreciate it nonetheless.
Well, and the what we're talking about is these are awards given for journalists out there. Almageddon?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's out of all the stories, you know, and
I was waiting for your reaction.
The owl story was,
yes.
Right, yeah, I mean, the owl story was fantastic, and
yeah.
Definitely one that I'll always remember. But, like, I was like, I saw the award list come out, and while I'm very grateful for it, I was like, really? This is the one that I get, you know, awarded for? But hey, again, it's a first-place award. I'm very grateful for it, and I'll take it. And we, the whole editorial team there at LandNap, from Rob and Ashley to Kyle, Scott, and Tommy, I mean, I feel like we all put in a lot of great work, and we're all very grateful for it to be rewarded for that work last year.
Man, y'all swept that thing. A lot of awards for LandNap. So congratulations and well deserved. Let's talk about those stories y'all do every day on the website. Anything on the, and this story, obviously, we're all talking about it in the city. Talked about it, you know, yesterday. I truly get stumble over my words because I'm so upset about it. But anything more on this two-year-old that was, let me point out, shot in the face while they laid in bed, the child laid in bed with his parents. Let me just point that out, y'all. Anything new on this?
Yeah, Sheriff Birch spoke to the media yesterday. And I mean, it's really a very terrible situation. I mean, when you get a press release like that, it is, you know, all you see is the basics of it,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it's just, you know, hey, a two-year-old has been shot in the face. We're trying to get more. And it, you know, they say that the brother of the child was possibly the intended target there. But it was somebody who had basically just done a drive-by shooting into the house. And this poor child is just laying in bed with it, you know, their parents. And this happens. And it's just a truly despicable sense of senseless violence that goes on. And I mean, I don't really know any other way to describe it than that. And, you know, I'm hopeful that they'll find whoever did this, because I mean, this is, you know, it's one thing to target somebody, but then to have this child who is doing nothing more than just, you know, sleeping with their parents.
What you're supposed to be doing. A two-year-old.
Exactly.
Doing.
It's just so tragic. And I mean, I'm kind of like you. I'm at a bit of a loss for words there, because, I mean, this is something that, you know, I don't know. And this goes back to, you know, the Sanger incident over the weekend. You know, it goes back to, you know, the main question of why. You know, why do people feel the need to escalate their respective situations with gun violence? You know, and, you know, how do you solve that? What's the answer? And, you know, I don't know if anybody does have, you know, the right answer for it. You know, but, I mean, the most you can do is just try to curb it at the youth level. But, I mean, then again, you get into this scenario where everybody feels like they need to carry a gun, and that increases mm-hmm. the likelihood that these things are going to happen. So, I mean, it has been a rough week for, you know, Mobile in terms of gun violence. And, you know, it's really heartbreaking, to say the least.
You know, I thought about it this week, too. The legislation that was up in this last session in Montgomery, raising the stakes here, or increasing the type of felony, I think, going to a Class B or Class A. I don't have it in front of me. In other words, increasing the stakes for shooting into. And that didn't pass. I thought it was going to have, like, a Anaya's Law support, but it didn't pass.
Right.
You know, and here we are. This is a shooting into a house. And toddlers and grandmothers and moms and nine-year-olds, I mean, getting shot.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, I'm sure you guys there at FM Talk get the police blotter like mm-hmm. we do. And, you know, it's pretty much every other day that you have an incident where somebody is shooting into an occupied building or a vehicle or something like that. It happens so frequently, and thankfully, more often than not, you know, nobody is hurt in these incidents. But then you have, you know, an incident where a two-year-old child is hit. And you had an incident a couple of years ago where another child was killed in a similar incident where somebody drove by and shot into a house intending to hit somebody else. You know, and I'm like you. I figured that one would have had plenty of support because it's something that needs to be addressed.
Right, like who's against that? Like who's against a bill that it heightens the penalty for, y'all think about it, taking your rifle or pistol and just shooting into a house. I mean, I don't know how you make the argument on the other side in the legislature and go, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we should just keep it where it is.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I can't imagine being opposed to it, but I'm sure, and this is just me speculating here, but I'm sure that there was some kind of opposition among party lines that, mm-hmm. You know, against that kind of legislation. But I mean, you know, I would encourage whoever's against it just to, you know, take it and get on the Mobile Police Department mailing list and just see how many of these incidents, you know, happen here on a weekly basis. I mean, you know, like I said, it's every other day, if not, you know, every day that we have these incidents where somebody is shooting into a house or a business or something like that. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we had somebody standing along Dolphin Street just shooting into cars mm-hmm. as they drove by. You know, so, I mean, it's just, that's one of those things that I'm kind of like you, where I thought, you know, this should have near unanimous support,
yeah.
you know, for it. But I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, also, talking about, you mentioned the other despicable act, you know, at the Sanger Theater on a Sunday afternoon evening at a dance recital. You know, I've gone to a lot of these over the years. My daughter's gotten older, so I'm freed from that from now until maybe one day I have grandchildren. There's places that I think, okay, something could happen and break out. It's not a dance recital, man. It's like, you talk about a place I feel like, yeah, everything's going to be, everybody here is going to be cool. Their kids are here. A dance recital.
And that's the way it, you know, we should feel, right? I mean, if it's
that's what normal humans should feel, yes.
Exactly. I mean, you go to a dance recital, it's mostly grandparents and parents there that just want to, you know, experience their child doing something that they love, and they, you know, that they're, you know, they're growing up and they're doing more activities. And it's supposed to be a very heartwarming, you know, fulfilling day. And, you know, then it turns into just absolute chaos. And because of this individual's, these two individuals' decision to get into an argument, and then one individual's decision to escalate that to gun violence. And, you know, this all goes back to what I was talking about earlier about, you know, how do you solve this? And, you know, it's, there's been talk about, I know the Mobile City Council, a couple of council members have talked about the permitless carry law and everything, and they place the blame on the state and everything. But, I mean, I think it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, people can say, you know, you need to start, you know, in the home, but how do you do that? And it really, to me, gets down to that mental level of people thinking that they have to carry a gun everywhere they go. Because, you know, or that they need to use a gun, period, to solve their issues. You know, there are ways to solve things without escalating them to that level of violence, and, you know, and putting other people in danger as well.
There you
I mean, go. You're in a theater with hundreds of other people, and, you know, I don't know what the thought process there is of pulling a gun in a theater like that where you know, you're not going to get away from this. I mean, there are hundreds of people here. Everybody, I'm sure, had their phones out, video and their performances and everything. You know, you are going to be on video. You're going to be caught for this. I don't understand the thought process of pulling the gun at a kid's dance recital. I don't know. I've struggled with this since the incident happened. I can't comprehend why somebody would do something like that.
Right. Let's lighten things up. And I mentioned to you when we were in the news break before we went on. So I go to, you know, go to landapmobile.com daily, getting ready, you know, for the news. And usually I'll read these kind of stories that we just talked about and trying to get, you know, different angles on things, see what information's out there. But before I did, I opened it up this morning and I find myself reading a story about cats. Now, Brady, I don't do that a lot. I don't do that. But I see the headline here, Perfect Home, get it, Baldwin County Sanctuary providing a safe place for unadoptable cats. The unadoptable thing, I think, is what hooked me, because I'm like, how bad are these cats? But then you, like, what have they done? But then I got into the story, and the volume, talk about this place, and the volume of cats, it's unreal.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to preface this by saying my wife and I are huge cat people. So she went with me to scope this place out, and we had an absolute blast. It was a fantastic time. But, you know, when I first heard about this place, I kind of just assumed that it was, you know, one or two, you know, the crazy cat ladies who, you know, just take in all the cats they can and take care of them. And I get down to this facility, and it's in southern Baldwin County, and I'm just blown away. I mean, there's about 20 acres of land, most of which is just completely open for the cats to roam around in. There's about 200 cats on this property.
It's a lot of cats, man. That's
a lot of cats. I mean, you couldn't take a step at this place without tripping over a cat. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But they're all well taken care of. They, you know, they've all got their shots. They've been spayed and neutered. They're chipped. I mean, it's a huge operation, and really my favorite part of this entire thing, they recently opened up a new facility on the grounds there where they house the kittens that they get in. There's, you know, cats with special needs or diseases, and they also have a weight room for cats, or a weight loss center for cats.
A what? Like kitty treadmills or what?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. They actually mentioned the possibility of adding cat treadmills to the mix. So they'll get these fat cats in, and they'll put them in these rooms. They'll sequester them in this room, and get them back on a diet and get them, you know, underweight to where they can release them back out into the open and join the other cats. But, I mean, they've thought of everything at this facility. They're doing a lot of really good work. It's Coastal Cats and Critters. You know, and I encourage anybody who's an animal lover or loves cats or just interested about it, go check them out because they're doing a lot of really, really good work there.
I would suggest y'all as well, even, I mean, if you're not into cats, you're into this story because you're going to see, I mean, just the number of cats in the discussion here, it's something. You had me at 200 cats for sure.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that sees that lead right there in and of itself of 200 cats, I feel like that's going to draw you in. You can't not pass that by, right?
All right. Tell folks if they want to check out this story online, how do they get signed up for LandyapMobile.com and why? Why should they?
Yeah, just go to LandyapMobile.com. You can sign up. It's a real easy process. You can reach out to us if you have any issues. But, I mean, you know, we put out a paper every week that's got a lot of good stuff in it. You can get it in any of our purple boxes. But you're going to miss out on a ton of other content that doesn't make the paper. We're a daily paper online. You can get a lot of those award-winning stories, like the piece Scott Johnson did yesterday. Really, really good piece. People want to check out there.
You talk about the after. Honestly, I read the cat story first. Got to be frank with you, but then
of course.
But I heard the discussion this morning about it. Y'all need to go read up on. I mean, you talk about a multi-layer hustle going on here in our fair city with this pain, whatever the South Alabama clinic thing. That was
right.
That was something.
It is a tremendous deep dive. Scott did a fantastic job on that story, and it's one of those you're only going to get at LandyapMobile.com. You know, so if you go and subscribe, you can check it out, and that's the kind of investigative reporting we do every day at LandyapMobile.com. But you got to have a subscription, so go sign up.
Right, the next time, I mean, after reading, y'all read the story, you'll tell me what you think. But after reading it, I think the next place I might see this story is in front of a grand jury. I mean, if these things are true, this is crime here.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of accusations in there and a lot of stuff that makes you stop and wonder, you know, hey, you know, what's going to be the legal ramifications of this? And I think Scott's story will more than likely kickstart some of that.
Good stuff. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the award, and we will talk again soon.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
All right, there goes Brady Petrie, and we'll come right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. We'll get to the text and phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. To give you an update here on my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. Talked about this process. If you've wanted to get a silencer in the past and you just said, well, it's just too much work to do it, those times have changed. I mean, it's a 30-minute process. I got it done in 20 minutes. But a 30-minute process to stop in Stone Arms. Use the kiosk there. Walks you through everything you need to do to send off to get your permit, to get your silencer. And it's like before, when I tried to do it, before Jeff said, hey, come out to the store to do it, I had this file folder, and you had to get like fingerprints one place, passport type photo another place. You had to fill out this document. It was just a pain. I didn't get it done. I got it done in 20 minutes when I went to Stone Arms. And within 2 weeks, I got my green light for the silencer. And beyond just how cool it is to have that, it is, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. So, now, I'll shoot one of the possible rifles I have. I shoot subsonic ammunition, which gun folks, you hear the action work on the rifle. It's that quiet. But even with supersonic ammo, you don't have to have hearing protection on. And it's a very good thing for me, so I can shoot more often. I've done damage. I mean, if y'all have ever, you know, we've hung out together, y'all watch me, especially if there's any kind of background noise, I have to kick my head one way to hear you. Well, that's damage I did. From shooting over the years, that and a lot of loud Van Halen. But I have permanent hearing loss. But you know what, going forward, my son or my daughter or myself can shoot even without the right hearing protection on or no hearing protection on when you're using a silencer, and it just makes it a lot more fun. It actually makes the guns more accurate as well. So to move on to get your green light to get a silencer and then to get a huge assortment of silencers and the gunsmiths to put them on whatever rifle you have or you're going to get, go see my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. They are just west of just west of Snow on Airport. They're online at stonearmsinc.com. Go see them today and get that. I mean, if you've been, I'm telling you, I was that person. If you're somebody that said, I'm going to get a silencer, one day I'm going to get one, I'm going to get one. You can do it now and you can get it done. And the turnaround time is weeks. That's it. So check them out. All right, back to the text line here. Let's see, where was I? Motorman said, what about the gator at Langan Park? Because the dredging thing starting today. Actually, I don't know what the current, you know, because they move back and they move around. I mean, there's a big one there, but there's sometimes more than one gator at Langan Park. It's like on the farm, I got gators will be in one stock pond one day, another stock pond another day, then gone, and then another one shows up. I mean, especially this time of year when they move around. I don't know if they've talked about, will he be picked up by the dredge? I don't know. I mean, gators are good. I mean, they're good, you know, good for the environment to have them in there. I don't know if in the dredging of Langan Park Lake it'll affect them or not. I don't know. Be interesting. I don't know. Now, of course, it was just folly and starting trouble that I said that they were going to take that dredge and put it in the bay, that dredge spoil and put it in the bay. But I don't know where they're taking that dredge spoil. Why don't they build, you know, I used to, when I lived closer to Langan Park, I used to go in the afternoons and walk the trail there, you know, do the laps around Langham for exercise. What if they use that to build like Mount Langham? So the Langan Park Mountain, and you could build it with all this spoil and let it dry out. And then you have this big, then you could climb. We could have the highest point in Mobile County be all the dredge spoil that comes out of Langan Park Lake. What do you think? CB Carl said the Land Pride Lane Shark rocks. Listen, CB Carl, the Lane Shark or some of the other ones that do the same thing. One day when I'm a grown up and I can get a tractor that has third function, and I'm getting one of those things. I've got a buddy who's brought it out to my place before to clear roads, and those things they're awesome. Jerry in Fort Morgan says it's the Glock clips, or you. I guess you're talking about maybe Glock chip or I don't know, Jerry, you're talking about on the violence out there? Yeah, I think Jerry's doing that satirically. It's not that, and you know, that's what brought John Young and I together all those years ago, because he was PIO, Public Information Officer with MPD. They're doing a perp walk, and everybody just wanted to ask him about, if, you know, the TV reporters were like, oh, is it a Glock chip? Is it this, that, or the other? And he said, let's stop just a second and talk about what happened when a child's killed. You know, that's the people get obsessed, and you're hearing this discussion now as people react to these horrendous stories out there. And it'll be all of a discussion about, well, magnetometers. And somebody the other day made a good point. If the magnetometer was there, that wouldn't happen. I'm with you. But you can't magnetometer everything in the world. But yeah, the discussion comes into what kind of gun, magnetometers. There's always going to be new technologies and ways to get around it. We've got to change something that's a lot harder than that. You got to take the dirt bags that are out there now that do shooting into, and you need to have the tools for the judicial system to keep them in prison. And then you arrest the people doing these things, keep them in prison, and then let's slow down. I mean, you're never going to stop. I mean, there's always going to be people that do wrong, but you got to, there has to be a change of heart. And this is one that you can't get there's no Senate Bill 14 or House Bill 17 about changing people's hearts. It's something we need to do otherwise. And we've lost, I mean, some lost kids, lost boys that would do this. I've told this story before, but it's told to me by law enforcement, two different folks who know each other, but didn't know the other one was talking to me about it. And I'd asked, this is years ago, and I said, one of these shooting into stories, I said, how would the bad guy, the gangster, was John Carter, urban terrorist, how would they do this, right? I mean, I'm not naive, people are going to be bad and do bad, but how would they shoot up into a house where they don't know that their rival or whomever they want to shoot is there? and in doing that, injure and kill innocent people. I said, wouldn't they be worried that if they did that, then the same would happen to them? So two different people in law enforcement told me this. They said in interviews that they had done with shooters, and they said basically what I said. They said, don't you worry about what if somebody did this to your grandmother's house or mother's house where your little cousin or whatever is sleeping in there and they got shot? And these two people told me in a lot of these interviews, the shooter says, I don't care. It's part of the game, or I'm paraphrasing here, it's part of being a gangster, part of the game, whatever. That's soulless. I don't know, like, even you take people that are thugs, you can go back through history, up to, gangsters, they would say, well, nobody's going to shoot my grandmother or my little cousin, or I wouldn't have that. Because, I guess folks in law enforcement were trying to make an appeal based on what I think the majority of us have is our wiring, right? You can come after me, but you do not get innocent family members. But at least what they're saying, these shooters, is they don't care. The fact that they did this and this could happen, that they don't care. Like, they're normal, and majority of people doing these shootings, we talk about it, are 15 to 25-year-old black men, boys and men, doing this. I can tell you right now, you go to older black men out there, and folks in my age group, they all have the same reaction of, nobody's going to hurt an innocent person in my world. But these younger people, it's like, eh. Versus that normal reaction that, and not saying women wouldn't have it, but I'm just speaking as a man, that you don't hurt mama, you don't hurt grandmother, you don't hurt you coming after me and I'm a bad guy and you're a bad guy. I'm going to make it so, I'm trying not to get shot myself, but I'm not going to put the innocent face. I'm going to defend them. Even though I'm a bad gangster, the criminal, you still reserve this portion of, but you don't mess with them. But that seems to be gone. And it's disgusting. I really do. I'm rare that I get a loss for words, but this stuff bothers me so very, very much. All right. Here for levity. Matt says, I'll tell you, Sean, I don't mind cats overall, but having a 200-cat sanctuary next door to me as a neighbor, what a freaking nightmare. And the smell, oh my goodness, not to mention what my dogs would do. You know it would drive dogs crazy. If dogs could read, and they read that story, Matt, that somewhere in Baldwin County there are 200 cats in one place, the dogs wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that. Go read that story. It's like great and good for them. It's not like they're doing this out of their own pockets and for their heart. They're choosing to do this. So good. They're making their own choice to finance this. But just the pictures and just to think that 200, do they form gangs? Do the cats, are they all just loners, or they form a pride? And I still have a lot of questions about that many cats. I mean, it's a whole bunch of cats. And thank you to the texter earlier who had talked about the CO2 injection in North Mobile County. That's Roy. Thank you, Roy. And I said I was ignorant to it. Actually, when Roy gave me the info and I went and saw the story, I do remember seeing the story, but I didn't remember it until I saw it like printed in front of me. That one is interesting. It is about CO2, about using this as carbon capture. So this story was from October of last year, and it's Tensaka. This is from AL.com. Margaret Cates wrote the story. Said Tensaka, a Nebraska-based energy company, says its new carbon capture facility in Mobile County will generate about 770 jobs, have an economic impact of more than $600 million during construction, following a study from the University of South Alabama. It says once the facility is operational, it'll generate $24.7 million of annual economic impact and create 18 jobs. Okay, so that once it's up and running. So I guess, I don't know if it's still on, or said the, I imagine it is. I hadn't heard anything to the opposite. Longleaf CCS Hub, a carbon capture and storage facility. Now I'm going to dig into this. They're taking it, I think, and putting it in the ground. Is there a danger with that? I don't know. I mean, there's some, there's some of these things, maybe it's new technology, new way to deal with it. I'll tell you a good way to sequester carbon. It's called trees. And they do that pretty well. I like the fact that it's called longleaf, like longleaf pine, but it's not actually putting it in longleaf, it's putting it in the grass. But thank you, Roy, for reminding me of that story. I'm going to dig into that. That's interesting stuff. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. Segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. I tell you what, so I was on Forrest Long, who has Blue Water Yacht Sales. So it's, I go, you know, once a week, maybe sometimes more than that, to the page where they have their listing of used boats that are for sale. And there's a Grand Banks trawler on there that is like gorgeous. But I mean, there's Regulators, Contenders, Bertrams, Whalers, all kind of boats they got for sale right there. Some in the water, some on trailers. But it got me thinking about the other part of this, the flip side, which, selling. Okay, you know what? You are selling. You can sell your boat because you're going to buy another one. I shuddered because the idea of selling the boat, not having another one. But either way, whether you're selling it, going to get another boat, or you're just selling that boat, using Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales to do it is a winner. Now, the first time he told me about it, he said, you know, hey, you could do this brokerage thing with us and have us sell your boat. And I'm like, Forrest, we've known each other since high school. I mean, you know, I've bought and flipped boats my whole life. And he said, yeah. He said, what was that like? I said, I don't know. I mean, you get people calling you that are just kind of wasting time, or people come over and walk around your boat and kick the tires on the trailer like that tells them anything. You know, they just waste time, or you're down at Navco doing the fifth test ride of the day in the boat with somebody who's not even going to buy. It's just a pain, right? So you do that. Why do you do that? Well, you want to get the boat sold. And he said, well, what if we did it for you? I said, well, I could make more money if I sell it myself. He said, He said, because they have on your higher end used boat, they have a brokerage network from down the Texas Gulf Coast, you know, all through the Gulf Coast, back up into the, you know, the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, into the Atlantic region. People, they're looking, they know that there's customers that really want a certain kind of boat. And so they've networked this. Therefore, they can get top dollar for the boat from those folks. Therefore, you're going to make just as much as you would selling it yourself, but you don't have to bother with it. You take it to Blue Water Yacht Sales and make an appointment, you know, list the boat with them. They'll make sure everything's in working order. The boat looks good. They will market the boat. You don't have to get the calls. You don't have to get the people, you know, wasting your time. They get the boat sold for you, and you get the money. It's really, I mean, it's if you've been through it before selling a boat, you know what I'm talking about. So if you're thinking about selling your boat, whether you're getting another one, yay, or, you know, just out of the boat game for some reason, do it with Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales. Call them, check in with them, see, you know, say, hey, here's what I got. You know, here's what I'm looking to get for it. And they'll talk about what the market looks like out there, what you can expect out there. There's just a lot of great, great options out there to do that. So Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, they're online at bluewateryachtsales.net, or go by and see them on the East I-65 Service Road, Mobile here, or down at Orange Beach Marina. And, you know, if you're thinking about it, it's probably prime time to sell it, too, if you're trying to sell one. So reach out to them today. All right, to the text line here. And once again, Royce, thank you. I mean, I've said they're capturing CO2 from plants and whomever has to get rid of it, they're injecting it into the ground. Roy, thank you and no thank you, meaning that thank you for giving me a heads up, but now I got to go read a bunch of stuff tonight. I do appreciate you, Roy, but that is interesting. I got to educate myself on that. Joshua says, the councilmen have to know their answers to death and violence is stupid. The elephant in the room is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, you have to say what the problem is before you address the problem. I think more people are coming around, Joshua, but you know what happens. Terrible week like we've had with the gun violence. There'll be a lot of talk about it. But what I'm interested in, and John and Drew and all of us, is what happens in 2 weeks. Are people still interested and going to take a stand and try to make a change here in the culture of gun violence. That's the thing. It's not what right now. It's like the topic du jour. But what happens in a week? It's why we point out the names of these children killed, you know, like on our billboards and all that. Don't forget their names. Because you forget their names, you forget what has already happened. Keep their names, keep these toddlers, children, teenagers that have been innocents that have been murdered out there. Keep them in your mind. Jimmy in Bay Minette said, the gators and cockroaches are in the same category. They're both survivors. Well, there's, I don't know. Cockroaches never got on the endangered species list, did they? And gators did. Can you imagine that some story one day? We have ESA protection for palmetto bugs and German cockroaches. They seem to do well. But yeah, gator has a purpose out there. They get stuff done. Let's see, from a named texter said, the Bayway Bridge project has been talked about for years. You got that right. And the price tag keeps going up. You got that right too. Take some of that money and extend the Beach Express from I-10 to I-65 and 59 as a four-lane. Make that a mandatory truck route and prohibit trucks in the tunnel and on the Bayway. Just scrap the entire bridge project. Traffic would flow much better and would likely cost considerably less. You know, you talk about the escalation in that price. I remember talking about this project when it was, first of all, we thought we were going to get an 80-20 match. In other words, 80% federal, 20% local. And it was in the millions of dollars, tens of hundreds of millions, but it's now I think the last thing I saw, 1.6 billion to do the bridge. Let's see. Texture says, ask Bobby about Mobile Bay salinity and the dredging mud being released, not hauled away as promised by the Corps of Engineers. Heard the bay was extremely muddy. It is extremely muddy. And yeah, Bobby and I talk about that a lot. You know what? I'm going to release a video here soon. Bobby and I took Easton Barrett, that guy that last year survived when their boat sunk off Petty Boy, and he used that personal locator beacon to survive and get picked up, he and his other guys that were fishing with him. Well, Bobby and I and Mike Ward took Easton Barrett fishing about a month ago, and we're going to post up that video and some of those clips here very, very soon. We'll do that through our YouTube page and our social media pages out there. All right, that's obviously enough for me for today. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Talk to y'all tomorrow.